Welcome to Hour 2, my favorite hour of the show, especially when I'm not leading and I can just sit back, relax, let Brett take charge and just comment, you know?
Yeah, that's great for you.
Just share my perspective.
Yeah.
You know, be the people's voice.
Good for you. You're so in the moment right now.
I am. I'm feeling really nice.
Good God. Good. I don't. Before we started, I did this thing where I shook my head to like get myself all excited. Now I'm a little dizzy. So if I pass out, just know that it's not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And help me.
Okay.
If that happens.
I love doing the show with Brett.
Oh, that's great. He loves it back. And if he were here right now.
All right, real quick, let me do some TYT Lives because there are some interesting tweets sent to us. Actually, first of all, Super Chat is YouTube comments. I don't know really how they differ from like the chat room next to the live stream, which is one of the worst places on the planet.
Right.
But somehow this comment came from a different place and we like it. And so Chelsea Charles says, so if a cop yells at someone to drop your weapon, does that mean that they will be like, this isn't a weapon? It's a firearm. So it's a response to a story we did yesterday about how the NRA like aired a segment about how it's like defamatory to call a gun a weapon and that it should be called a firearm.
You don't want to hurt the firearm's feelings by calling it a weapon. only the firearms can call each other weapons. You can't call them weapons because that's defamatory. They've reclaimed the word. These are a series of jokes I came up with for that.
That was good. That was very on the spot.
Thank you.
Okay, and then Ben Peck says, I work in local TV sports, constantly encouraged to show some personality, not be a robot, but stick to sports though.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing. When you're on the job and you're a sports reporter and you've been told by your company, stick to sports, that's fine. But if you are, you know, in your house, and you have political opinions and you want to share them on Twitter, and those political opinions happen to actually be political facts, then you should be able to share them.
And never more, not never more than now. Frequently throughout history, sports has been in the same part of the Venn diagram as political discourse.
Right.
Is a very, especially racial discourse.
Absolutely.
So I think it's okay. And she is hired to have opinions.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, it's not like, excuse my language, but it's not like Jemele Hill was like Trump's little cunt boy, right? Like that would be a little different because it's like, okay, but is that factual? Is he a cunt boy? Like we don't know. There's no evidence of that. Just kidding. But what she said was, in my opinion, not that offensive. I think he's proud of his white supremacy.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's definitely not proud. And he might be today. We're actually gonna start off with a story kind of about that. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are watching, I took off my wedding ring because it's tight and I'm learning how to wear it. I'll put it back on now.
Oh, you're married now.
Yeah,
we'll talk
it's
about
real.
That in the postgame.
That's the postgame today. Good call. All right. Congress just passed a bill urging President Trump to denounce white supremacy after Charlottesville. So, according to reports from BuzzFeed, the resolution, which rejects white nationalists, white supremacists, the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, and other hate groups, urges Trump and his cabinet to use all available resources to address the threats posed by those groups. It also calls on the president and his administration to, quote, speak out against hate groups that espouse racism, extremism, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, and white supremacy. So that it also includes specific language about Heather Heyer, as well as the two police officers who were killed in the helicopter accident when they were responding to the violence in Charlottesville. Tuesday, Mark Warner, upon passing it, tweeted out, among others, tweeting about it. He said, tonight the House passed my resolution condemning hate groups and the Charlottesville attack. POTUS should send a clear message and sign it ASAP. Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Wednesday, which is today, did say that the president looks forward to signing it and absolutely will. However, this is the same president who said that there were, the exact quote is hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides.
On many sides. That's what he said, yes. I'm glad that he's going to sign it. It was a curious strategy by Congress to do this. I mean, on one hand, it's basically Congress saying, we do not support any of the, you know, white supremacist stuff that's popping up all over the place right now. We condemn it. We do not condone it. But I wonder if they were thinking maybe there's a possibility that Trump won't sign it, and it'll kind of throw him in the middle of this terrible controversy again, and maybe he'll lose a little more political capital. Although I feel like the more terrible racist stuff that goes on in the country, the more his like core base, not all of his supporters, but his core base seems to continue making excuses for him, and they back him even more.
Right. It's a remarkable for Congress as a whole to outflank anyone on what seems, on at least its face, to be a morally good thing to do.
Yeah.
Because Congress, as the president always said, Congress people, they have a lower approval rating than me. For them to just say, and then there's another part of it that's them just saying, okay, here's how to president. When things like this happen, say what you will negatively about Congress people, but this is the kind of thing they at least know how to do to, during a tough time, kind of signal to everyone, we want us all to come together over this.
Do you guys remember what controversies were like during the Obama administration?
No.
Like, do you remember when he like wore a tan suit once and everyone made a big deal about that? Like, can we go back to those days?
Put Dijon mustard on a hot dog, that scandal.
Dude, I can't, it like blows my mind. Like, those were scandals back in the day.
It was unprecedented.
Lock him up. Lock him up.
By the way, Dijon mustard's delicious and should be placed on a hot dog.
Just call it deli mustard. Yeah. It's a secret.
It was unnecessary because then it sounds too foreign for Dijon. The Between Two Ferns thing that Obama did, I watched, it was random, I went through old archives. Fox News, at one point they said how unpresidential of him to do a comedy skit to try and push out air. I was like, this is unpresidential?
Yeah.
To try and have like some kind of fit, anyway.
He was trying to get people to sign up for healthcare. He was trying to tell them how to do it.
He's tricking them. It was tricky for Zicky. I'm a Jimmy Dore this real fast. Uh-huh. So is this officially a bill? Is this a law? Do they have to do something?
That was
the longest of things they're supposed to do with this thing that Trump is supposed to sign about white supremacy and then monitor this and do that, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can go through those things again. I don't know if that's still readily available. I just want to see a few of them.
They reject white nationalists, white supremacists, the Ku Klux Klan, etc. And it urges Trump and his cabinet, an official urge to the Trump cabinet to use all available resources and address the threats posed by those groups.
What does all that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean exactly? So are they going to finally empower the Department of Homeland Security to have a team that specifically focuses on right-wing non-Muslim extremism in the country? By the way, that's not to say don't focus on Muslim extremism. We are focusing on that. We should. But there's also white right-wing extremism in the country, which has been evidenced by, you know, various events that have transpired over the last year. Can we finally have like a government organization allocating resources to investigating that?
That would be nice. Set up by Congress. This urges ostensibly things within the cabinet. So it is a great, it's saying, okay, cool. Why don't you need to do this? Mm-hmm. We urge you. So it's an official urge.
An official urge.
And you don't want to know what it feels like to have Congress urge you. And then it continues an official calling on the president to speak out. So he got called on, and I don't know if anyone went to elementary school, but when you get called on by the teacher, that's serious.
No, it's so crazy that we need Congress to
so they're urging him to sign this thing that they ask him to maybe do something like change his tone and call out white supremacists or just hate groups in our country in general. So this is nothing. It's a whole bunch of nothing. So it's a policy to cover for his ass. So like, oh, our president signed this thing. So he now officially denounces white supremacists because they couldn't get him to do it on his own. So it's them saying, okay, so in the history of things, 10 years down the road, we can say, oh, you remember President Trump signed this decree that he's supposed to not like white supremacists anymore after he said how much he loves them. This all it is a little bit of cover so they can say he did something right. When honestly, how's he gonna turn it down? And what's he really gonna do? Nothing.
Well, he's gonna sign the bill on many sides, the front. And then he's gonna turn it over and sign it on the other of the many sides of admonishment.
And then you gotta do the important final part of this whole thing that he does.
What is that?
When he shows his signature.
Yeah. Oh, he goes, well, I don't want people to know how I signed myself. I'm about to get that iPhone 10 and I don't want it to be giving away my face or my signature, but it's so Donald Trump. Road name good. My name, Donnie.
Okay. By the way, just to answer my own question that I posed about the Department of Homeland Security, the legislation does urge Jeff Sessions and the Department of Homeland Security to allocate resources to investigate right-wing extremism in the US. So
it urges them.
But it's non-binding, so just keep that in mind too.
That's free for Jeff Sessions, because he knows where they are. You know?
Forces them to, every time he walks by and then nudge him with a double, hey, remember? That's what it does.
All right.
Perfectly round head. Okay, let's move on.
What's going on in the world?
A woman allegedly shot a homeless man after he asked her to move her Porsche. That's the story we're doing next. 26-year-old Katie Quackenbush, as reported by BuzzFeed News. Katie Quackenbush, who describes herself as a honky-tonk rock and roll singer from Texas, outlaw country, was in her car with a female passenger when she got into a confrontation with Gerald Melton, or Melton, near Music Row in Nashville on October 26th. So according to the report, Melton, a 54-year-old homeless man, quote, was trying to sleep on the sidewalk at 3 a.m. when he became disturbed by exhaust fumes and loud music coming from a Porsche SUV, police said in a press release. So after that, it seems like it's a disputed case over what happened, but the police say that after the argument, she shot him and then left the scene. Her father, who is also her lawyer, disagrees. According to her father, quote, she warned him to stay away and told him she had a gun. She then fired a warning shot, but he kept coming, so he fired another, quote, warning shot, he said. He said that his daughter and her friend, quote, had no clue that she had hit Melton, which is why they drove away and went to eat breakfast later. So the full story also includes statements from the father that say that this that Melton was actually an aggressive person, as noted by multiple businesses around the area. But he had not actually been charged with anything, nor had any official complaints been fired, according to the report, filed according to the report. And however, for Quackenbush, the daughter, that is not the case. She has two misdemeanor assault charges against her in the past. One, quote, in December, she was charged with misdemeanor assault causing bodily injury in Texas for allegedly striking a woman in the head with a drinking glass, which her father downplayed as actually she saw the new girlfriend of her ex-husband and they got in an argument and she resorted to violence.
Is her father like her official press person?
He's her lawyer.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Quackenbush, but she's pretty outlaw country.
Okay, well, this is unfortunate. And look, we don't know exactly how it went down. And you know, you do have businesses in the area saying that this homeless person is somewhat aggressive. And you know, to be quite honest with you, there's a growing problem in the country of, first of all, the homeless population. It's exploded over the last few years. And also homeless people who have severe mental disabilities and need help,
right,
but we don't help them, we ignore them. And the problem will continue to grow and we're gonna continue pretending like it doesn't exist until we will be forced to address it. And so I don't know, no one knows exactly how it all went down there. Her record doesn't look good, but this is what happens. You know, when you live in a society that just arms anyone and everyone. By the way, is she legally in possession of a gun, considering the fact that she had criminal charges regarding assault?
It doesn't say in the reports I found whether she was convicted of, and the other misdemeanor charge was for assaulting her mother, but those charges were dropped. So well, she could have legally possessed the firearm, but according to the police report, the man did not impede her ability to leave the area.
Exactly.
It's a he said, she said in terms of what went down in the altercation. They said there was at first a non-physical interaction where he aggressively, according to her side, said racially charged epithets at her and was aggressive and was coming toward her and she said go away. But the whole warning shot and not knowing what happened, I don't know. But you know, that's all speculation. But this is a good opportunity to bring up issues like how difficult it is when you have people who in by whatever circumstance rendered them homeless and a lot of them are in need of mental counseling. And in the court, it's difficult because there's a lot of times not enough resources or legal authority for the prosecution and the legal system to actually mandate that these people who need mental counseling go get mental counseling.
Yeah, if you're an adult and you might have a mental health condition, it is hard to, you know, you're an adult, so it's actually kind of difficult to force that individual to go get the help that they need. But you know, I think the bigger problem is the fact that people can't afford mental health care. And the issue of mental health care comes up specifically when there's a mass shooting and people want to use that excuse as the scapegoat for that shooting. They don't want to talk about gun legislation. They just want to find another thing to blame. And it is a real problem. And we need to give Americans the health care that they need, and that includes physical health care and mental health care, so they don't end up in terrible positions like this. And also, we need to address affordable housing. Like, housing has become so incredibly out of reach for so many people. And what are we going to do? I mean, if you're retired, you're an elderly individual who's living in a rent-controlled apartment, and some developer buys that apartment building, decides to demolish it and build luxury condominiums, what does that person do? Are you going to tell them to go back to work if they're on a fixed income? And we're seeing that problem play out over and over and over again. So again, I'm going to bring up, you know, the imagery of us building moats around our homes and pretending like this problem doesn't exist, but it exists and we need to do something about it.
Yeah. It's difficult. Nashville going through, had been going through, and continues, I assume, to be going through a major housing boom. They talk about all the cranes in Nashville for, you know, building up everything. And there's like a map, an app online where you can go and count and see where all the cranes are, because they're just everywhere. And they're going up haphazardly. There's one skyscraper in Nashville that they put too close to this one other skyscraper that has like a bright neon red sign. So those ones are always in front of a bright red flashing neon sign because they couldn't do anything about it. Anyways,
sounds really smart. Sounds
has like nothing to do with this story, idea. But I feel like the online version of that story ended a little bit ago. So let's just move on to the next one.
All right.
Quackenbush.
Quackenbush. I don't know. Central California's got some quackenbushes.
It's fun.
She's a honky tonk woman.
Outlaw country. I'd rather listen to Wheeler Walker Jr. personally. Go look him up. He's fantastic.
All right, we got to take a quick break. During that break, you can go ahead and look that person up. And then when we come back in about 5 minutes, more great stories for you, including what, Brett? What can they look forward to?
A prosecutor in, or a defense attorney in Missoula, Montana, referred to a 13-year-old victim of sexual assault as a temptress.
That's great.
Also, what license plate? Find out what license plate a DA district attorney in Texas tried to get before he was forced not to because it was a little weird. And as well as his second option wasn't too good either. So stick around.
All right. So stick around. Use the hashtag TYTLive to tweet to us. We'll be right back. Post-game show today because
let's just start it now.
It's gonna be so good and so juicy, and I'm gonna get myself into trouble. But JR just posed the question during the break: have you ever found a foreign hair in your home, and what was your reaction? Meaning the hair of another woman, in my case, in my home, and whatever, vice versa.
Yeah,
we gotta talk about a post-game. It's just
did
drops.
You get it? If I wouldn't notice a hair of another man, but she would notice the hair of another woman.
Absolutely.
My male friend has really long, beautiful black hair. So we'll talk about that.
Okay, we'll talk about that and more post-game.
I swear he does, sweetheart.
TYTnetwork.com/join if you want to become a member. Gabby Morita says, how ridiculously fucking entitled must you be to have the audacity to shoot someone, then go eat breakfast like everything's fine?
That's what JR was saying.
Yes. We were just talking about that.
What did you say?
So you get, if you're into a fight with someone, if you're in a shoving match, you may be a little bit jarred afterwards and go, oh man, wasn't that crazy? This bastard tried to shove me. But you go shoot someone, the calmness you have to have to be like, okay, Pops, let's go. I had the eggs, maybe some bacon on the side. Didn't just shoot someone. Yeah. Wouldn't you be like a little startled? I'm gonna go home and sit down for a second and make sure nobody calls the cops on me.
I'll say stuff on.
She was hangry. Yeah. That was our executive producer's joke, Irina Nikita. That was hilarious.
So good. But I'll say stuff on this show that I regret pretty much every time, and then I'll not have an appetite for a couple hours. I'll just be like, oh God, I feel really terrible about
that.
Same. Ugh, what else do we got? Anything, any other business you want to do?
Yes, Worldcraft says, bullshit, she knows she shot him. You know if you shot someone, she didn't give a shit. Yeah, I 100% agree. I don't know why, but I was needlessly overly fair in that story. But yeah, she sounds like a terrible person. I think that she knew, and I don't think that she felt like she was in imminent harm's way or he was an imminent threat. You have the Porsche SUV. Get in your Porsche SUV and leave. That's what you would do. One time when I was running in West Hollywood, there was a homeless man who was very clearly mentally unstable running toward me with a belt. He was swinging his belt with a heavy object at the end, tied to the end of it.
Yikes.
He was very clearly coming toward me with that weapon to hurt me. And I ran in the other direction and lost him. I didn't shoot him, right? I don't know. Anyway, let's just move on.
Let's move on to Missoula, Montana. A Missoula, Montana defense attorney referred to a 13-year-old victim of sexual assault as a temptress. Okay, how did it all start? The Missoulian reports, according to court documents, documentation, Justin Griffith, 26, worked as a clinical care worker at Western Montana Addiction Services. So this is an addiction recovery place for teenagers, where he, quote, developed a sexual relationship with a 13-year-old patient in March of 2015. Griffith later told a detective that relationship lasted for a weekend. Lisa Kaufman, the defense attorney for Griffin, said, Kaufman alleged there was a wild atmosphere. She seemed to blame it on the wild atmosphere at the treatment center with teenage girls who, quote, acted out sexually. She said Griffith had not received any training for how to handle such situations. And then later, over the prosecutor's repeated protests, here's what happened per the Missoulian. She said, she looks and acts like she's 18 years old, attorney Lisa Kaufman told Missoula District Attorney Judge Dusty Deschamps. You should see the pictures of her and the hair and the makeup. And then later, in a heated exchange with the prosecutor, she said, how about victims as temptresses? What do you think about that? The victim's mother, who was seated behind the attorney, told Kaufman not to speak about her child that way. I was just making a little slam, Kaufman told her, about my daughter, the woman replied. And then after that, Kaufman apologized. But
so Lisa Kaufman is an embarrassment to not just women, to humanity. Because she thinks that it's okay to point to a 13-year-old child, okay, and essentially blame her for being taken advantage of as she was in a rehab clinic trying to get clean, and a 26-year-old guy took advantage of her. So, yeah, you're a terrible person, and you shouldn't be an attorney. If that's the, like, I get it. If you're a defense attorney, you are going to find any and all ways to try to defend that person, because that's your job.
Right.
But I believe that you can do your job without being incredibly insulting to the victim who was just taken advantage of. Calling her a temptress, like, what are we? Are we like in, you know, like an ISIS camp somewhere where, you know, you go ahead and you blame the female victim who was just raped or sexually assaulted? I mean, do you want to put women in burqas? Is that what you like? Like, that's insane. You should see her makeup and the way she dresses. So are you saying, A, that men can't control themselves when they see an attractive woman, which is insulting to men, and B, that women who present themselves in a certain way deserve to be sexually assaulted or raped?
I don't know how.
What is her thinking here?
Like, I get that if you're a defense attorney, like you said, you have to say some stuff. And what's sad is what this does to the victims in these cases. And that's why you hear time and time again how difficult it is for victims to come forward, because not only once it's out there do people know, and then they're looking at you as the victim of one of these things, and but also the process of defending the accused is to say that it was the victim's fault, to say that she brought it on herself. The best line of this all, and it's weird to call it the best line, but it was super accurate from the judge, in response to the idea that this girl was a temptress and that the defendant had a lack of training in this area, the judge said, it's hardly a training issue not to have sex with a 13-year-old.
Absolutely. Good.
It's just so obvious in that case.
So you want a drug rehab place to spend resources to train grown-ass men about how it's unlawful to sleep with 13-year-olds who are trying to get clean at said drug rehab center? Like, you think that that makes sense? He's 26 years old. He's not a child, okay?
Yeah.
And That's absurd.
It's so ridiculous. And then how much further do you need to go than just that one line? Do you need to then have them come into, okay, we're going to do the training for this. We dressed a 13-year-old girl up as a temptress, and you have to resist her for the next 20 hours. It's just like, just don't have sex with 13-year-olds. So that's pretty done with your training.
Let's put this method of defense, or apply this method of defense in a different context and see how ridiculous it is. So I'm walking home, I see a car, and someone has left their laptop, their MacBook Pro, on the passenger seat.
Right.
Okay. The car is locked, but I see the computer. And since it's right there in plain sight, I decide I'm going to break the window, break into the car, steal the computer. I get caught. Do you think it's a good defense for me or my lawyer to say, well, you know, the victim here decided to leave the computer in plain sight, and as a result, the victim is to blame? No, that's absolutely ridiculous. The person who has committed the crime is the criminal, okay? The person who steals the laptop, in this case it would be me, I would be the criminal.
But then again, you didn't have enough training on how not to steal a laptop.
I mean, it just gets more and more absurd when you apply it to any other context.
I wasn't trained on how not to break a window and steal other people's property. I didn't get that in walking down the street training.
It's crazy.
Common sense. To follow up on what happened, a second count of sexual intercourse without consent was dropped as part of the guilty plea process. And the judge essentially said, listen, if I were to imagine one situation in which I could show some kind of understanding of the other guy's situation, or the 26-year-old Justin Griffith situation, would be if he was inexperienced and then we had an older but still minor personality disorder or something like that. But she's like, the judge said, this guy's been around the block. And he seemed like a predator. So 20 years was what he was sentenced to, 16 of those suspended.
Oh my God, I was gonna say, damn, 20 years?
So it's 4 years. The judge recommends sexual offender treatment during the suspended portion. I don't know if the sentencing's gone through, but this is like the apparent compromise between what was suggested by the parole counselor and what the judge came down with was a recommendation of sexual offender treatment during the suspended portion of the sentence. But the judge said, there's no way I'm going to suspend the whole thing like the defense suggested.
Right.
So
all right,
that's that. Goodness. This next story, different. It's a different story. That's why we're doing a transition between the previous story and this story. This is the transition that we're doing. It's not a good one, but it's happening.
What am I going to do with you, man?
The Texas DMV made a district attorney change his vanity license plate because it was found to be inappropriate. So this district attorney had what license plate? Let's take a look at it. Hangum. H-A-N-G. Texas outline. E-M. on his license plate. Apparently, District Attorney Richard Glaser of Fannin County had this license plate for 35 years and said it was inspired by Clint Eastwood's film Hang 'Em High. He explains what happened and why he had it. He said, it really sort of fits what I do. It harkens back to frontier justice. If I'm out on the road, people drive by, give me a thumbs up or clap or something like that. I guess the people in Austin have a little different sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Hang 'em is what you is hanging people, and that's not, I don't like that. I don't like hanging people. So that's what happened. And this all started when someone had inquired as to why their own license plate got rejected by the DMV for being inappropriate. And then they added in their complaint after their own license plate was suspended. He said, how can the district attorney of Fannin County have hang 'em and that not be threatening? Just wondering. And so the DA saw that someone was complaining about him, went back, did like a Freedom of Information Act to find out what the true context was. And then finally, after it all went down and his own hang 'em was rejected, he decided to come up with a second option. So, according to the report, Glaser said he then changed the text of his plates to geldum, a nod to castration. So, geldings are castrate horses. But those were found to be objectionable as well. That denial was a bit more of a shocker to the twice-spurned district attorney. He said, I guess that there's people down in Austin that probably make a pretty good salary that decide stuff like this. So, that's that.
You are a district attorney. Okay, so you are supposed to be part of a justice system, and you are supposed to present yourself as an individual who supports and wants to reinforce justice. Wanting to castrate people, wanting to hang people, implies that you are not necessarily interested in justice. You're interested in punitive, extremely punitive measures, and that is what your main focus is, and it's unprofessional to say the least. So I'm glad that you got denied. I'm sorry that you had that license plate for 35 years and it went unnoticed, but it's incredible. I mean, we just had a conversation earlier in the show about how an ESPN host said that Trump is a white supremacist on Twitter and people are losing their minds over it because it's the truth. But in the case of a district attorney, someone who is supposed to be part of a justice system that's supposed to be fair, has these license plates or suggests a license plate that's even worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not offensive. Yeah. I mean, again, he's supposed to carry out justice. He's supposed to be part of that system. And it seems like he's much more interested in killing people or castrating them.
There was a different story we covered a couple weeks ago, and there was a tweet, and I forget who it was, but they said something that, what is it with the law enforcement person who wants to be famous for weird stuff like this? You know, like the Arpaio, let's go above and beyond how cruel we're gonna be, mm-hmm. and accentuate the like terrible part, the punishment side of it. And I don't know, it's possible, I'm not too bothered by it personally. Like the hang 'em, it's a Western thing. It's more of a frustration. But like, there's a story in the New York Times today about an Ottawa judge who was suspended because after Trump got elected, he wore a Make America Great Again hat to the courtroom after that.
Okay, well, that's and great.
The conclusion was, and this is why I come back around to being like, all right, you're a law enforcement official, rather than picking up the hang 'em mantle, let's focus more on the fairness mantle. And they said, like, what would a reasonable person assume if they walked in and saw you with this?
That's right, yeah.
And if it's hang 'em, it seems to imply that you don't care
about justice.
You just care about hanging people.
That you want punishment, and the emphasis is the punitive component of the justice system, not the fairness, not the innocent until proven guilty. Look, as a district attorney, you have such an incredibly important job, and I think the way you present yourself matters.
Yeah.
And so, look, this is not me like getting my feelings hurt. This is me reacting to another symptom of a justice system that has wronged so many people. So many people have dealt with, convictions for crimes that they did not commit. So many people were on death row and were exonerated after DNA evidence indicated that they did not commit the crime. We spoke about the Central Park Five earlier in the show today. Those were five individuals, black individuals, who lost years of their lives over a crime that they did not commit. And so it's never just about that one story. For me, when I see something like this, it's not just about this one district attorney and this one license plate. It's about what it represents. It's a symptom of an unjust justice system in the country that we really need to focus on and we really need to reform. That's what it says
Let's
to me.
Let's ask the guy to think about it. Just one second. It's your license plate. I mean, first of all, whatever happened to MD for my love or some whatever sappy things people put on their license plates. And if they don't allow you to put hang 'em on it, say you don't even have that in your mind. It's about some Western. You can survive, move on.
Right.
Okay, hang them. Big deal, who cares? Okay, move on. Put a sign in front of your house or something. I don't know. Put it in your room and gaze at it. Why do you need everyone behind you driving to say, oh, tough guy, hang them?
Right.
You'll survive, move on, pass the hang them. It's okay.
He finally settled on DA 336, will be his.
All right, nice. Named nice.
District attorney, and then the code for that location. So that is. DA 336, if you see him.
That's an adult's license plate. That's what an adult has.
But if I do see it, if I'm behind it, I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. All right.
Okay, just real quick, I hate like the fancy license plates. Like just
for vanity plates?
Just grow the fuck up, okay?
Like, what?
By the way, like some of them are cute, whatever. I know I'm being a total grump about this, but it's just like, anyway, let's move on.
He could have done hang them high.
Like, I know. Like,
and then it would have been H-I, and it would have been like, hang him, hi, and it would be friendly at the end. Hi.
Little hands now. They added the hands in California. There's a hand symbol. You can put symbols on your license plates now, too. So if you have a little kid thing, you're like, you know.
Why? How do people have time for this?
Justice.
How? I want to know how people have time.
They don't actually make the plates.
Like, you have to apply for it, though. Like, you have to take time out of
your
busy
online.
Life to apply for a custom
license
plate.
If you can go to Amazon and order some laundry detergent.
But I need laundry detergent. It is an essential part of life.
The only reason I would be okay with a DA having hang 'em on his license plate is if underneath it was a bunch of truck nuts. Then it would be like, oh, hang them.
But that's
hang the truck nuts. And then geld them if he got rid of the truck nuts. Or the truck, just as long as
both. I guess, you can have both. You're making a statement about nuts.
Yeah, I guess I'm all right if you just have truck nuts. Just buy truck nuts.
Are you okay with truck nuts, by the way?
Yeah, I don't.
I
think it's funny.
Every time I see truck nuts. One time I saw blue truck nuts, and I was like, this is the best truck nuts I've ever seen. I love truck nuts. It's really fucking funny. And I don't know why it amuses me, but I think everyone who gets trouble for truck nuts, I forgive you.
People get in trouble for truck
nuts? Well, people give them shit. They go, oh, man, look at this douchebag with his truck nuts hanging.
I got kids here.
You know the truck nuts are like steel balls and they're swinging in the back of a truck?
But like what I want to know is like why?
Because like it's an explicit acknowledgement that your truck is a compensation for a small bag of genitals. The unit for genitals is bag, apparently. And it's funnier because nuts is with a Z. Nuts. Like nuts. Like it's
what
colloquial.
Do you mean,
like truck
brand?
Nuts. I think it's with a Z. Look up, do some fact checking on the show today. Let me know if it's truck nuts with a Z. I like it.
Because people have a little bit of fun. Just like people hang something in their rearview.
The kids are like, yeah. But people are like, no, you can't have truck nuts. I can't have my kids thinking the trucks can procreate. I don't want to have to talk about the birds and the bees and the trucks.
Here's when shit really hits the fan. When we have like car boobs. Right? Because we gotta conceal the nipples. We gotta conceal the titties.
Yes. Like
you cannot show
those
nipples.
There's already bras, back in the 80s.
Yes, you're absolutely right. There were bras.
This is madness, okay.
All right, speaking, we wanna do more madness? What do you wanna
do?
Let's
do more madness,
the Christian school or the?
We have like 5 minutes left. I wanna make sure we do one.
Do you wanna do that or the bodegas?
Whichever one you feel more passionately
about. All right, let's just do the Christian school, because I'm gonna make an Eddie Izzard reference later, and I want to. Okay. English parents are suing a Christian school over the fact that a boy was allowed to wear a dress to school. The unnamed school was complained about by Nigel Rowe and his wife Sally. They removed their 6-year-old son from the unnamed school after a male classmate was allowed to attend the primary school in a dress. So, As a result, the couple are going to mount a legal challenge against the school, arguing it has not respected their rights to raise their children in line with their biblical values. So they're gonna homeschool the kids. Mm-hmm. Nigel, the father, said, "We believe it is wrong to encourage very young children to embrace transgenderism. Boys are boys and girls are girls. And gender dysphoria is something that we as Christians need to address with love and compassion, but not in the sphere of a primary school environment." If you're wondering what the school's rule is, it's a Church of England school. It says the school in question said transgender pupils were protected under the Equalities Act of 2010 and that it had policies in place to tackle transphobic behavior. It defined transphobia as including a failure to use a person's adopted name or to accept he or she was a real boy or girl. There you go.
Okay, so the law protects the school and its decision to allow these students to dress in the way that they identify with. And so if you want to sue them, have at it. We'll see how that plays out in court. But it's this extra unnecessary, like just completely superfluous step of suing the school because you're uncomfortable having a conversation with your child about why another student might want to wear a dress. By the way, you want to support biblical values. Jesus is always depicted wearing a dress. Like always.
I think we have photos.
Yeah. So
starting with P1.
Let's just take a look at these pictures because I don't see any jeans up in here. Oh, there's Jesus. He looks like his resurrection or something. He's not wearing pants. In fact, no one's wearing pants. There's Jesus again. He's wearing a lovely crimson dress. Okay. Are we offended by this? Do we need to sue the individuals who illustrated Jesus Christ wearing a dress? Look, I just
That's a good number. I like the contrast.
Mm-hmm. Here's what you can do. If you are confronted with a situation where your child wants to know why a little boy would want to dress like a little girl. Son, sometimes individuals are born with a gender that they don't identify with. That's it.
Mama, what does identify mean?
You then explain what identify, like have a conversation with your kids because here's what's not gonna happen. If your child was born as a boy or a girl and they identify as a boy or a girl, you don't have to worry about them miraculously changing their gender identity because other students are doing it. The world doesn't work that way, okay? And I think that, and I'm not trying to be too judgmental of them because I think that this type of fear really comes from ignorance and this notion that if you accept a certain group of people, then individuals are gonna make decisions about their gender identity or their sexuality. It doesn't work that way. And even if it does, and it doesn't, but even if it does, who cares? Are you gonna love your son any less? And if you really are worried about that, then take your son out of the school and move on with your life because the law protects what this institution did.
I'm with the Church of England on this. I said I was gonna make an Eddie Izzard reference. I love the Church of England. I mean, first of all, the Church of England was set up so that your king could get a divorce. So if you wanna be like strict in line with all that stuff, to my knowledge, is my remembering through Eddie Izzard bits, it was so he could get a divorce. Uh-huh. Also, he also characterizes it as like, there's no bones in the arms of Church of England. They're very like, do whatever you want. It's like the Spanish Inquisition would never have happened because they're so lax. It's like, you know, do you renounce it? And then they'd be like, but it's too tight. And the Church of England would be like, all right, well, just loosen it up. It's fine. It's Church of England. Go ahead, cake or death. Anyways, I think no one got that reference but me.
Yeah,
three people watching Eddie Izzard. But yeah, you have kids, JR. You have a kid.
Yeah.
How do you handle this kind of stuff?
Well, I haven't had to. It's pretty, the kid does what he wants, he wears what he wants, and that's the way it'll work. So I'm not, people can do what they want with their kid as long as they're not abusing their child. Other than that, just let it go. Let other people do their kids.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah.
I think it's better than punishing kids for expressing themselves in a way that doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah, look, everyone, as long as you're not hurting your child, raise your kid however you'd like to raise your kid. But don't go ahead and sue a school for following the law and not discriminating against certain students. All right, we gotta go. If you're a member, stick around. There will be a post-game show. Thank you to Brett Ehrlich and JR Jackson for hour two. You guys are awesome. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.